This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Wyoming Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis, a freshman who represents the entire state in the House of Representatives. She's also a member of the House Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Budget Committees. We want to get her thoughts today on the ongoing discussion of whether middle-class tax increases will be necessary to pay for a possible new health care system in this country. And we also want to ask what she's been seeing and hearing in town hall meetings now that she's home for the summer recess.
I'm happy to join you today from Evanston, Wyoming.
Well, I'm sure it's beautiful weather out there. I'm sure you're enjoying the fact that you don't have to be in Washington for a few weeks. But in terms of what we heard over this past weekend, the White House has now tried to tamp down the speculation that there might be some middle-class tax increases on the way. But over the weekend, a couple economic advisors to the president said that that can't be removed from the table at this point, although the press secretary said that the president's committed to not doing that. What's your sense of whether or not that will be part of the discussion in the coming months?
Considering how much spending has occurred in the last 7 months, I believe that Tim Geithner and Larry Summers had it exactly right. The Democrats cannot take that off the table, because you could take every dime from the people in the top tax bracket and still not have anywhere near enough to pay for the spending that the Democrats are doing in Washington. So the only way to go at this level of spending is to incur more debt and ask the Chinese to buy it, and they're getting nervous about that, or raise taxes on the middle class. The president, despite his wishful thinking, is not proposing cuts in spending, and because of that, they've got to consider increasing taxes on the middle class. They have their heads in the sand.
What are you hearing from your constituents on this subject, whether it's about the health care bill in general or about the amount of spending in Washington? I noticed on your website that you have a little note there at the bottom about how much our debt has increased since the president took office. What are you hearing from your folks back home?
Wyoming people are both angry and scared. They're angry that we are saddling our children and grandchildren with deficits and debts that are unprecedented. And they're scared about health care. They do not want a bureaucrat between them, their doctor and themselves. They want the freedom to make their own health care decisions. And they want to be able to keep their insurance if they like it. The Obama administration says that that is the case. But in fact, if you read the bill, that is not the case.
Explain why.
Because there will be a penalty paid on employers who shift their employees off private insurance and onto the Obama plan that is actually less expensive for the employer to do than keep them on their current insurance. So even if you have employer-paid insurance, your employer, because it's less expensive, will likely shift you onto Obamacare. Furthermore, the bill says that there can be no new private insurance policies issued after the date of the act. That means for young people who are looking for private insurance, it's going to be unavailable. They're going to be forced onto Obamacare. And with all of the penalties, it's much less expensive to move people onto Obamacare and off private insurance, which will have a burgeoning program that the American people will get stuck with the tab for.
We're talking with Wyoming Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis, a freshman representative, right, as I mentioned before, represents the entire state based on its population, and the entire district is the entire state. Congresswoman, we just heard from the White House yesterday that folks who are angry, it's manufactured anger. They're out there at the behest of the insurance companies and others, and that it's not really the public that is opposed to the president's policy. It sounds like you're seeing something a whole lot different.
A whole lot different. I'm holding town meetings all over Wyoming. We have no insurance companies that are doing business in Wyoming as their home base. These people are coming because they're angry and scared. They're not recruited. We put ads in newspapers and saying we're doing a town meeting, and people just show up. And I can tell you to a person, they are angry with the idea of government-sponsored health insurance. They're angry with the freedoms they're losing, with the taxes that are being extracted from them, and the unemployment that is growing in Wyoming because they believe of these ill-conceived plans to move America away from the private sector and towards the government sector.
There's another issue that I know, based on reading some of your material, that voters in your state, as well as you, are very passionate about, and that's energy legislation. It was passed several weeks ago in the House of Representatives. It hasn't been voted on in the Senate yet, but it's known as cap and trade. I know Republicans call it cap and tax. According to your website, you believe it's going to hit your state especially hard. Explain why.
Wyoming is the number one coal-producing state in the nation, the number one uranium-producing state in the nation. We have the highest wind velocity in the nation. We're a state that produces energy, and we have so many jobs and so many people in the state who really understand the energy industry, both traditional energy and alternative energy, that we have a super informed electorate here. And they know that when coal is producing 50% of the electricity in this country, you can't replace it overnight. So when you put enormous tax burdens on coal, which is admittedly a carbon emitter, that it's going to be passed on to the consumers of energy, especially in those states that have a high proportion of their electricity coming from coal, which is what all of the flyover states in this country have. Consequently, the people of this country are going to bear the burden of cap and trade with no discernible, measurable benefit to the global environment.
Congresswoman, it's pretty clear that your constituents are very upset about the agenda that this Congress and this president is rolling out. Any of your other colleagues around the country that have met with their constituents in the early days of this recess, are they finding people just as fired up as you are?
Indeed, they are. And in fact, I've talked to some friends of mine who are Republicans, one of which voted for the cap and trade bill and then went home to his district in New Jersey and just got hammered by his constituents for voting for it. He came back to Washington and said, "I misread my constituents." We're getting good feedback from our constituents, and my marching orders are clear. Wyoming is pleased that I'm voting no. They don't resent the fact that the bills that Republicans offer as an alternative are not being incorporated into the Democrats' bill. They just want us to vote no. And so I have very clear marching orders from my constituents here in Wyoming, people who want to save their children and grandchildren from the financial burdens that Congress is putting on them right now.
Last question for you, Congresswoman, before we let you get back to your constituents. Some say the feedback that members of Congress are getting at these town halls, which is obviously quite negative. Some say it borders almost on the hostile. What do you see as the most effective way of folks getting their message to their elected leaders? And do you think that those who have already made up their minds on issues are likely to change them based on what they're hearing?
I do believe that constituents make a difference when their representatives in Congress and U.S. Senate are standing in front of them and their constituents are saying, "You're getting it wrong. You're not representing us well. We don't want this debt. We don't want these deficits. Cut spending. Government doesn't create jobs. The private sector creates jobs." The constituents need to tell their members of Congress that they get it, that the people in the states that are trying to raise their families, have a livable wage, understand that it is not government that creates jobs, and it is not government's role to take away private sector opportunities and take more money out of the pockets of hardworking Americans. I know that constituents make a difference, so I encourage constituents to go to these town meetings. Talk to your members of Congress. Tell them how angry you are or scared you are or disappointed you are with their votes if they're supporting this extraordinary spending. It makes a difference.
Congresswoman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Wyoming Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis represents her entire state in the House of Representatives, member of the Agriculture, Budget, and Natural Resources Committees. This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.